Good morning, everyone. Continuing on our learning of Psuke de Zimra, we're now up to Hodu. Hodu is a combination of many different sources in Tanakh. Particularly, the main part of it is found in Divrei Yomim Aleph, Perek Tezayin, but in fact is really a combination of Tehillim Kof Hei, Tehillim Tzadi Vav, and the rest of it is a compilation of many different, a likud of many different psukim found in Tanakh as well. The history of Hodu is actually very interesting. The Seder Olam Rabbah in Perek Yudalad quotes that they would recite this tefillah, Hodu, at least part of it, in the Beis HaMikdash. In the morning, they would say Hodu Lashem Kirub Rishmo until Atu Guvim Shichai, and in the afternoon, when the day was closing, they would continue with Shul Hashem Kol Arz until Vayomru Kolam Amein Vahalal Hashem. Additionally, the Seder Olam writes that this is what this tefillah was actually recited by the Bnei Yisrael during the 43 years that the Aron was not in the Beis HaMikdash, right before the Beis HaMikdash was being built in the time of David, a little bit before that time, until Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash. So this, as Rehersh explains, following on this Seder Olam, this is a tefillah, which is really inauguration for Karbanos, for the Talmud Shachar, Talmud Shavein Arbaim. Historically, it's fascinating in the sense that many Siddurim have this tefillah mentioned, not being mentioned all the time. The Gra has a nusach in Meseches in Mesechta Katana of Meseches Sofrim in Perek Yudzayin, going into Yudches, that this tefillah was recited actually only on Rosh Chodesh. The Abu Draham mentions that we only mention this on Shabbos. However, the Torah writes the Yish Omrim, and that's our minhag, to recite Hodu even during the Chol. That's what the Machzor Vitri as well. Another Siddur mentions that this tefillah would be mentioned as well during the week as well. And it's interesting how the Nusach, the Minhagim have developed. The Bnei Ashkenaz in their Nusach have this after the Bracha of Baruch Shamar, implying that this is part of the Shvach that we're making to HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the Psuke de Zimra. But the Nusach Sfarad still keep it in as one can tell when they daven, in a minute with Nusach Sfarad, that it's instituted before Baruch Shamar, which implies that's more of like an introduction to the Psuke de Zimra, but not the essential part of it, as indicated by many of the Rishonim, as you mentioned earlier. We find this discrepancy between the nature of Hodu and the rest of Psuke de Zimra in Hilchos Or Chaim, where the Ramah discusses a situation where a person comes late to shul, what parts of Psuke de Zimra should he say and should he skip ahead to get to the rest of the tzibur. And the Ramah writes that if a person first should say Baruch Shamar, Asher Nishtabach, the Halukas. However, if he has more time, then he should say the first part of Hodu until the Hurachim. That first section seems to be the main, a significant part of Psuke de Zimra, which is necessary, but obviously not before the other main parts of Tefillah. And even more so, Hodu seems to be, in the eyes of the Ramah, a split between the first part, the Hodu part, and the Shir Lashem Shir Chadash, and the next part, the Hurachim Yichaper Avon, going on to the end of Hodu, which is, in his language, a likud of divrei psuki, the rachamim, bakashas of Takash Baruch Hu, that we're making. And we'll discuss how this progression is developing in the understanding of the tefillah. But for today, we're going to be discussing the first part, going from Hodu Lashem Kiri Rishmo until Romu Hashem Elkeinu Vishtachel Nahar Kasho Kikil Hashem Elkeinu. That first section, as the Ramah indicates, that's one significant chunk of Hodu that the tefillah we're going to be saying. In this section, this part of Hodu, there are really eight parts to the tefillah that we're saying in general. It's a long tefillah, and it's broken up into many different areas, many different parts. The first part is a general charge and to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu and sing before Hashem, seek HaKadosh Baruch Hu and remember His involvement in our history and the relationship we have with Him. That goes for the first seven psukim. The next four psukim is a new discussion where we recall the bris that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made with the Jewish people's forefathers, with the Avos. In the third section, we reflect on Hashem's protection of the Jewish nation as it was becoming a nation, leaving it Mitzrayim. That goes for the next four psukim. And then the next two psukim is a new phase, an introduction to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we'll discuss how that flows. The fifth section, then, for the next four psukim, is a discussion, a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness and dominion over all the other powers in of the world, of the entities of people, of angels. The sixth section calls for the nations of the world to recognize and submit themselves before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the seventh section, which goes to the next three psukim afterwards, envisions the natural world expressing joy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's allowing for the realization of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement in the world. And the last section, which we're going to be discussing today, is a call, another charge, to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to end the galus and engage in a genuine relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So those are the eight sections that we're going to be discussing today, and we'll go through them right now, what's each section talking about and the progression of each section to the next. So the first section is talking for the first seven psukim, for the first seven psukim, is a, again, like we mentioned, a charge to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu and sing before him, seek HaKadosh Baruch Hu and remember his involvement and the relationship he has with us in history. And throughout this tefillah, we're going to see two basic mahalchim of how to approach this text. One is really emphasized a lot by the Malbim, which understands that the entire tefillah we're making is basically a call for us to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement in our lives, both in a natural way and in a supernatural way. In the eyes of Rav Hirsch, however, it's less of a call of recognizing the intimate relationship we have, but more of our duty to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem through the Torah amidst the exile, and hoping that will come into fruition at a later point. So with those two perspectives in mind, we can now engage the text and understand the tefillah a little bit better. So the first two psukim in this subsection call for praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hodu Lashem Kiri Vishmo, Hodu Vamim Alu Losav. Recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, call his name. The nations should be informed of his actions. Shir Lo, Zamru Lo, Sichu B'chol Neflosav. They should praise to him, they should sing to him, they should converse in all his different wonders. The Malbim understands this mizmor as a follow-up, looking at specifically understanding this section is a quotation of Tehillim Kufhei. The Malbim understands that this section is a follow-up of the previous section, the previous mizmor in Tehillim of Baruch Nafshi, which focuses on Hashem's involvement through nature. Now, the mizmor is shifting its perspective and calling on the people to now focus on Hashem's supernatural involvement, guiding the Bnei Yisrael throughout history and that relationship that as it developed. And as we mentioned, Rav Hirsch understands this less of that, but the call is really a call to declare homage to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and introduce monotheism to the world. Hodu Hashem Kiri Vishmo, that's expressing homage to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hodiyu V'amim Alilosav, that's an expression of monotheism. And according to both Rishon, both Beforshim, the Sichu B'chol Neflosav, the emphasis of Sichu, as explained by the Radak, is a language of conversion, relaying those wonders of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to each other, making it a real part of their conversation and life. Moving on to the next pasuk, after calling the world and the Jews to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we now focus on Yisalu B'shem Kadosho Yismachle B'vakshei Hashem. The pasuk literally means they should be self-glorified in the name of His Holiness. And Yismach Leib Mevakshei Hashem, the hearts of the Mevakshei Hashem should rejoice. Understanding the thought process of the Malbim, he understands the Hishalalu, the self-pride, is referring to the Jewish people who take pride in the fact that their actions are enabling a greater expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, which is reflective of that greater relationship. And because of that, Yismach Leib Mevakshei Hashem, those Mevakshei Hashem, who are the people who are trying to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they themselves are going to gain a sense of simcha because of that. The Malbim emphasizes that unlike any other type of experience of simcha, of searching, where a person tries to find something, he may not find it, and the goal is not in the search itself, but to reach a certain point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu by definition is infinite, and because of that, the search for man is not to get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's the seeking itself, and that itself essentially is the joy, that attempt to have that relationship is the source of joy for for the Jewish people, who are the Mevakshei Hashem. Alternatively, Rav Hirsch understands that the glory that the Bnei Yisrael, who are also Mishalel in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's because they are fulfilling the Ratzon Hashem through fulfilling the Torah. And because of that, that's why those people who are Mevakshei Hashem, who are trying to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem, are happy. Alternatively, the Radak emphasizes that those who are among the non-Jews are the Mevakshei Hashem. They're searching for truth. They're searching for Kadosh Baruch Hu, and through seeing the Bnei Yisrael, through looking at the Bnei Yisrael, they find that truth. It fits in very well, very nicely with Rav Hirsch's understanding that the goal is fulfilling the Ratzon Hashem. The non-Jews see that experience, and who are those people who are looking for Kadosh Baruch Hu connect through that and find a great sense of joy in that experience. So after praising Kadosh Baruch Hu and experiencing and trying to become self-glorified and proud of that experience of searching Hashem and having that relationship, or alternatively following His will, the Mezamer then makes another charge after singing of Dirshu Hashem v'uzo Bakshu fun of Tamid, seek Hashem and His strength, search His face constantly. Following in the lines of the Malbim understands this as an elaboration of how does a person have the simcha of searching at Hashem. And the Malbim explains that there are two types of searching, one called bikush and one called drisha. Bikush is searching out, but not knowing what the object is, but we're looking for something that's lost. Dirshu is a different type of searching. It's not searching for an object. We know what the object is, but we're looking for a way to get access to it. So, for example, if a person found the lost object, the owner of the lost object will be searching not for the lost object, but for a way to identify that it's his. And that those two models of searching, the Malbim explains, are two different ways of how we search for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So one is Dirshu Hashem V'uzo. The word Oz is another synonymous in the world of the Malbim, as his physical interactions, his Maisim. And that's connected to the word Dirshu, where we have something that is tangible, and we're trying to get access to appreciating that interaction. However, there's a second way of appreciating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bakshu Fun of Tamid, of the Bikush of Panav, which is not something that we could easily attain, but it's the fact that we're doing a bikush, a searching, that itself is something that is meaningful, and that's what we should do as well. Focusing on Rav Hirsch understands that this pasuk is now instructing us with the background of all the praises of fulfilling Ratzon Hashem. Now the command is, the charge is to actually do Ratzon Hashem. Dirshu Hashem is seeking instruction. Dirshu Hashem v'uzo, the O's, is, in the words of Rav Hirsch, the divine law, similar in some ways to the Radak's understanding of Uzo, which is a reference to the Mishkan, the Aron, which has the Torah inside of it. That's one expression. And then, with that, Bakshu Fanam Tamid, if a person lives his life according to the Torah, then a person will be able to expect the Bikush of Hashem, upon the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tamid, on a constant basis, because he's fulfilling Ratzon Hashem through that experience. So the next sentence of this section focuses now on remembering HaKadosh Baruch Hu's niflos and interactions that he does with us. Zera azichru niflosav asher asa mofosav mishpatei few. Remember the wonders that he made and the mofsim and just mishpatim of his mouth. And then we continue. Zera Avram Avdo Bnei Yaakov Bechirav. This is referring to the previous sentence. The children of Avram, his servant, and the sons of Yaakov, who he chose, they're the ones who should remember the Niflos and the Mishpatim and the Mofsim. Following in the lines of the Malbim is saying this is a way that a person should be Doresh HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actions. From our physical experiences of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should experience the Niflos, we should remember the Niflos, the supernatural phenomenon such as Kriyas Yamsuf, the Mofsim, which are things that are indicative, that clarify certain perceptions about Kadosh Baruch Hu, like Moshe Rabbeinu's experience. His example is Moshe Rabbeinu's staff turning into a snake, which shows that Moshe had a mission from Hashem. The Mishpatim that Hashem experienced, the miracles and wonders that were functioning to punish the evildoers, like the Makos. In general, that's our opportunity, is our responsibility, is to remember the past of Mitzias Mitzrayim and use that as a way to remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with us. In the eyes of Rav Hirsch, however, following in his line of thought, this is a general requirement for us to remember the Avos and how they fulfilled the Torah, even though things were difficult. Avram spread the knowledge of the world to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in general, and that's our obligation, but we should do it just like Yaakov, who did so, even though he was having difficult times and he was in his own galus. And that's the emphasis, in the words of Rav Hirsch, of Zerah. Zerah is like the seed which comes out from the tree that grows out from the seed of the predecessor, the exact predecessor. We have to be exactly like them, steadfast in our ability to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even fulfilling the Torah, even amidst difficult situations. And on this section, we conclude, Hu Hashem Elkeinu b'chol ha'aretz mishpatav. He is Hashem, our God. His justice extends over all the world. So in the eyes of the Malbim, and similarly reflected in the Radak, this is, again, emphasizing our responsibility to recognize our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem performed mishpatim, different miracles with us. And similarly, the Radaka says, we saw Hashem performs justice in the world. He designated the Bnei Yisrael to be his nation. There's this relationship that's going on. Alternatively, as Rav Hirsch understands, this is all about fulfilling the Torah. So we're now, the Mizamer is now speaking to the current Jew in exile, who looked back, who praised HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who recognized his mission to follow Hashem, looked at his past, and now he recognizes that he's Hashem. He says, Hu Hashem Elkeinu, he's Hashem, our God in the present, of even during the Galus, B'chol Ha'aretz Mishpatav, his Mishpatim, the Torah, is applicable for anywhere, even regardless of time or place. That's our responsibility. And that's the first section of this Tefillah of Hodu. The second section is now a follow-up, which asks the people davening and reciting this prayer to recall and recollect Hashem's bris with the Jewish people. And as we're going to see, this is going to be either a recollection of, just in general, Hashem's interactions with us, bringing us to Eretz Yisrael, his relationship with us, or or it's us to remember the Torah. That's the bris, the covenant which we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's noteworthy to mention that in our Tefillah of Hodu, we say Zichru La'olam Briso, which is another charge to the people reading it. However, in Tehillim, it's Zecher La'olam Briso, which sounds like it's a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we're going to follow Devar Yomim, which is how we say it, which is a reflection to our responsibility to remember this bris. So we begin saying the following, Zichru La'olam Briso, Dover Tziva La'elefdor. They should remember forever his bris, and the matter which was commanded for 1,000 generations, which Asher Karasas Avraham, Meshuvas L'Yitzchak, V'Amidel Yaakov, L'Chok L'Yisrael Bris Olam, which he had a covenant with Avram about, which he had a Shuvah to Yitzchak about, which he established for Yaakov as a Chok, as a law, and for Yisrael, which is another name of Yaakov, as a Bris Olam. So, following in the lines of the Malbim, who understands it's all about the Hashgach, the relationship, the Malbim explains that this first section is a reflection of the bris of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning there are two things that are emphasized in this sentence, in this section, the bris that Hashem was created and the davar, the matter, which is commanded for 1,000 generations. The Malbim understands this to be referring to two different things. The bris is focusing more on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's interactions with the Bnei Yisrael, versus Davar, as we're going to see, is going to be more of like a tangible expression of something that is concrete, that Hashem commits to do. So the first section of Zichru L'olam Briso is expressed by Asher Karas as Avraham Ushvas L'Yitzchak. And the Malbim notes that this covenant, this relationship, is founded by the forefathers. Avram established it, Yitzchak established it, and each progression, each stage of this bris becomes even more and more entrenched. first is that krisis bris, then there's an affirmation through a shvuah. Then Yaakov, when Yaakov received this commitment, this relationship, it was hamadal, it was by medel Yaakov chok. It became as if it were law, as if it was established as part of the way the world worked, and ultimately became a bris olam. It became an eternal covenant with Bnei Yisrael. And the Malbim explains the reason why we change from Yaakov to Yisrael in this section, from Vayimedel Yaakov Chok and LeYisrael Bris Olam, is because Yisrael connotes always a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is beyond nature, which is more intimate. And it's a covenant of basically receiving Eretz Yisrael, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a greater relationship, a greater Hashgacha over Bnei Yisrael. And once Bnei Yisrael have achieve this relationship, this stage for themselves of becoming a Yisrael, then the bris, which we mentioned in the beginning of the section, is fully fulfilled, where there's this intimate relationship of Hashgachas Hashem. And that's what the follow-up is. Leimor l'cha tin es Eretz Kanan chavanach alaschem. This is giving Eretz Yisrael, where there's a heightened Hashgachas Hashem through this interaction. And that's what the first section is really focusing in the words of the Malbim, this interaction of Bris with Bnei Yisrael. Alternatively, following the lines of Rav Hirsch understands this to be referring to the Bris of Torah, as well as the Bris of Hashem's protection through following the Torah. Similar to how Rashi understands it, that the Bris is referring to the Torah, and it was preserved, as Rashi explains, Elof Dor, for 1,000 generations. He conflates the word bris and davar, unlike the Malbim. Therefore, it's basically saying that we remember the bris, the Torah that Hashem gave throughout, which Hashem created in the past, and He's going to establish a l'olam for all generations for us to fulfill. And Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and brought us to Eretz Yisrael in order for this fulfillment of the Torah to be in its totality. That's the embodiment of the bris in its totality, in its fullness. Refersha, as an aside, notes that if you look in, even though in our tefillah, Deryamim, the quotation of Hodu in our Siddur, has the word Yitzchak with a tzadi, in Tehillim it's Yitzchak with a samach, with a sin, and that he tries to fit in that in with his line of thought, that the word Yitzchak means something that's laughable. And following into his understanding of our role of fulfilling the Torah, especially in amidst the exile in the Galus, that's something which the non-Jews and many people would view as something that's laughable, that's something that would be unexpected. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to fulfill it, and Hashem's going to say, in the language of our first, it sounds like Hashem's going to have the final laugh, and the Bnei Yisrael are going to have the final laugh, looking back at the exile, finally realizing that they fulfilled the Torah, even amidst the exile, and that's an expression of the bris as well, finally getting to the Gula, to Eretz Yisrael. So following, after discussing praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the first section and seeking Him following the Torah, and then committing ourselves to the connection to the Torah itself, which is finally expressed with Eretz Yisrael and Geula, we now reflect on Hashem's protection with us in the past. And for both Rav Hirsch and the Malbim, they're going to follow their ways of understanding this section as they've done in the past. So we begin saying Biyosam be'eret misay mispar, when the Jewish people were a small amount of numbers, kimak, very small, the garba, and they were sojourning, and they went from nation to nation, from kingdom to kingdom, and lo niach ish la'ashkam, Hashem did not let them be abused, and He would chastise the kings for that abuse, and He would say, al tugu b'mashichai, don't touch my anointed ones, Lenevia al Tarei, and Hashem would say, my Nevi'im, you should not do evil to. And this is a general expression of protection. However, there are two different ways of understanding the function of this protection. Following the language of the Malbim, and it's found as well in the Radak, this is a protection that emphasizes the relationship we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the words of the Malbim specifically as expressions of the Davar. Before we were talking about the bris, and now we're talking about the davar, which Hashem commanded. This is something which is tangible, which we recognize Hashem's interaction in the world. Number one, He gave us Eretz Yisrael, which was a follow-up of the previous section of the Chevel Nachal Aschem. And he also protected us, even though we were sojourning and in a vulnerable situation. Hashem still protected us. The Radak gives some specific examples, understanding the Pesukim as referring to the Avos, who are going from land to land, goy to goy, different because of different famines, trying to survive. And while they were weak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still protected them. Frisch understands that this is a reference to living amongst the exiles, and for us, who are now in the Galus, to use the past as a chizuk for us. There was, Hashem did not let Loniach Ish La'ashkam, he did not let the nations of the world to touch them. That's reference to Ish, as we find by Lavan with Yaakov, and he would approve, Hashem would be chastising the kings, the Malachim, like Paran Avimelech, to make sure the Jews aren't going to be hurt. And this is going to be enabling us, as Refresh explains, for us now who are living in the Galus, to follow the forefathers, who are individuals among nations, standing firm with their beliefs, and living like a Jews, like according to their values. And the Bnei Yisrael in exile must also follow up with the Avos, and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu through that. So in the world of Rav Hirsch, this experience of the past is very similar to this previous section, in that it's our obligation to remember the bris that Hashem made with us, and the expression of that is Hashem's protection, which will enable us to fulfill the Torah properly. Moving on to the fourth section, now after discussing the connection we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, as we explained with the Malbim, or as Rav Hirsch explains, it's about fulfilling the Torah amidst the exile, we now shift to a new perspective of praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And either the praise will be because we're going to be able to fulfill the Torah, like following Rav Hirsch's Mahalach, or it's going to be praising to enable, as Rav Hirsch is going to be explaining, as the Malbim is going to be explaining, it's a praise which will enable the world to have a greater appreciation of Hashgachas Hashem, Hashem's relationship with us, through an educational process through song. So this is from Tehillim Tzadivav, also found obviously in Devar Yamim. The first two psukim are a call for the world and the Bnei Yisrael to sing a new song to Hashem, and everyone should sing as well. Shir LaHashem Shir Chadash, Shir LaHashem Kol Aretz. They should sing to Hashem a new song. They should sing to Hashem. The entire world should sing to Hashem. Shir LaHashem Baruch Shemo. They should sing to Hashem, they should praise His name. Basar miyom liyom Yeshua. So they should announce day to day His salvation. Following in the lines of the Malbim, that's all about Hashem. This is all emphasizing Hashgachas Hashem. This is a praise that's calling the world to deepen its understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he explains that there are two perspectives that people had of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the past and still do. One mahalach is that they don't even believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all. And to this, we call out Shir LaHashem Kol Aretz, just recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there's another approach which is a little bit more nuanced, a little bit more understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but their theology assumes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like the great clockmaker, as it was found during the Enlightenment, which basically understands that they know HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists, but he's not focused on the world. He gives it to the other people to run, the angels, the celestial beings to run. So the Mezamer now calls to recognize this greater level of Hashgacha, not just of Hashem's existence, but there's this new song, new perspective, Shir Chadash, to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's constant involvement in the world, renewing the lease of creation, the lease of existence, and it's not like a clockmaker at all. Rav Hirsch understands alternatively that this is not about Hashgachas Hashem per se, but it's more about realizing and praising Hashem, because now the world is able to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem in its totality, especially after the Jewish people have been trying to maintain the Torah throughout the exile. And this is synonymous to the Radak, a quotation of the Medrash, which says the Shir Chadash is in a Lashon Zachar, in a masculine form, unlike Shir HaChadasha, which is in a feminine form. And he explains, based off the Gemara in Tosfos and Pesachim, who explains that Shir HaChadasha, a woman, is synonymous sometimes with labor, and labor can be painful, and while it's a beautiful bracha in the end, there's some pain and incompletion that is through the process. However, Shir Chadash, it's a painless expression, man doesn't have labor pains, and therefore the song that's going to be made in the end of days, when there's no more pain and no more suffering, that's the song that's going to be done now. And we are now, as Rav Hirsch explains, envisioning a time when this redemption will happen, and our call is both for the Jewish nation now in exile, and hopefully Shir LaHashem Kol Haaretz in the future, to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for fulfilling the Ratzon Hashem. So in this song, we move to the emphasis of Shir Hashem Baruch Hu Shemo Ba'asrim Yom L'Yom Yishuaso. The question really is, what are these different expressions of Shiru and Baruch Hu and Ba'asr? What's the what are they focusing on? In the eyes of the Malbim, again, this is again emphasizing this connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the unique relationship we have with Him. The Malbim explains that this sentence is focusing on the people who had this clockmaker perspective. And now the song is starting to engage with that perspective and teach them a little bit more about understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a different attitude. So we say, Baruch Hu Shemo, recognize Hashem's bracha in the world. If a person has this perspective of the clockmaker theory, Hashem just runs the world from the back end, you won't have this appreciation or a greater appreciation of Hashem's Shefa in the world. If you recognize Hashem is being constantly involved, then you can be more easily recognize Hashem's involvement and the brachos that He's inputting into the world because of His direct involvement in that experience, in that process. Furthermore, if you have this perspective, not only will you recognize supernatural events potentially, which is more more synonymous with the Shefa of Hashem, you could even recognize the Basru, you could pronounce anew the Miyom Liyom, the day-to-day natural events. And those events, you too, with this new perspective of Hashem's involvement in the world, will be more readily able to appreciate the natural course of events because Hashem can easily stop that existence from happening as well, and He wants nature to run its course. So you get a new appreciation each and every day of these events through that perspective. Refersh explains, however, following his understanding, that this, again, is calling out people to fulfill Ratzon Hashem and recognize Hashgacha through that experience. Baruch Hu Shemo, following in with his understanding of the word Baruch, as he mentioned by Tefillas Baruch Shamar, it means to allow for expression, bring down that awareness. Baruch Hu Shemo means to bring awareness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. And Basr Miyom, Liyom Yishuaso, and similar actually to the Malbim's understanding, your awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be found in the Yom Liyom, in the day-to-day world, events of man's life. That's the way a person experiences Hashgachas Hashem, through, while synonymous to being able to enable the fulfillment of Hashem's will in this world. The next section is then a further explanation of what the praise is that we're supposed to be making in the future, or to educate them, as the Malbim explains. We mentioned Sabra Vagayim Kivado, mentioned to the nations his honor, B'chol HaAmim Niflosav, mentioned to the world his Niflos. Following the understanding of the Malbim that this entire song is a way to educate people about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malbim understands that this section is referring to educating the people who don't even believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all, as referred to in the earlier section. Sabra Vagayim Kivado, call out and recognize Hashem's esteem in the throughout His creation. So just recognize Him as a creator who is the one on top and has the kavod, the hierarchy, over the rest of the world. And then as an aside, we're saying people already recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You should also have a further understanding of B'chol HaMim Niflosav, recognize that Hashem can do niflos, wonders, overriding the natural world, which is, again, a push for not deepening that initial understanding of Hashem's running in the world to an even more supernatural, intimate relationship with the world. Refersh understands this to be actually a form of praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in general, seeing it within two different planes. One is seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's praise amidst the nations, and one amidst different people. Sapir Vagayim Kivado, when amidst the other nations, talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kavod, his power and his ability to control the world. B'chol HaAmim Niflosav, when you're with individuals, that's how Refersh understands people. Niflosav, Refersh understands this to be Hashem's revelation of His unique personality, of His interactions with human beings, and not just His power, the way He interacts with people, as a Chanan, as a Racham, the Baal Chesed. Those are two different ways of expressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives, and that's something that should be emphasized, a way of expressing to the world Hashem's Ratzon, Hashem's Ratzon. Moving on, Ki Gidol Hashem Mulam Ha'od, Norahu Al Kol Elohim. Hashem is great. He's Mehulol. These are different definitions. He's Norahu, is wondrous. Al Kol Elohim, over all the other powers. So following the explanation of the Malbim, this seems to be another expression of praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, following in with paralleling with the previous sentence. In the previous sentence, we're emphasizing Hashem's existence as a creator in general. So following that, we parallel this by saying to recognize two different levels of Hashem's depth and wonders in creation. The Galus Hashem is Hashem's breath over so many different areas of the world, so many different laws of nature, so many different types of nature, sciences, the natural world, as well as Mehulal, the depth and the kindness and the wisdom that Hashem inputs into that system as well. And the second expression is for the general people who already recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the calls to deepen that, B'chol Amim Niflosav, recognize the Niflos, the supernatural experiences of that unique of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as he's able to run the world over any other power and be above nature. And the pasuk continues, the pasukim continue, Ki kol Elohei Amim Alilim, all the powers of the nations are Elilim, V'Hashem Shemayim Asah, but Hashem made the world. Again, following the lines of the previous sentence, we're trying to explain Hashem's power in the world. Focusing on just the details, the word Elil, the Malbim explains, connotes Hashem's ability to, denotes a power which has a defined limit. Nations serve these defined limits, but Hashem's power is absolute, overpowering. Similarly, a little bit different perspective, Hirsch explains that the word Elil is a perspective of the relationship we have with the Kosh Baruch Hu. The word Elil, in the eyes of Hirsch, is more of a lashon of denying. The nations, their relationship with these powers, they're terrified of their deities because they're afraid that they'll destroy them and they're only serving out of basic needs for survival. However, Kosh Baruch Hu is the Shem Havaya, is a giving life, is the entity which gives life and creation, a caring entity. And that's the perspective we have in the relationship we have with the Kosh Baruch Hu, and that itself is a form of praise that is in contrast to the rest of the world, the rest of the deities of the world. We finish this section by saying, Hod v'hado lefanav, oz v'sifaris b'mikdasho. The Malbim following in his understanding of this praise as expressing Hashem's interactions and relationship with us in a natural and supernatural way, he explains that the word Hod and Hadar refer to different ratzonos. Hod is a ratzon that is more hidden, more pinimi, more internal. And Hadar is more of an external expression of a ratzon. And you find this, and this then, through the Hod, the Hadar, Lefanov, as the Hod and Hadar before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're expressed in different ways. One's through Oz, through the natural world, which is a set expression of laws. And another way of expressing it is through Tiferes, which is a way, which is like a supernatural expression, which is Mispayer, which expresses great glory to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through his incredible strength to be above nature. Refresh actually has a very different understanding of this, and it really reframes his understanding of what the point of the praise is. He explains that because our interactions with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as mentioned in the previous pasuk, are with Hashem and not the Elilim, who deny a person's ability to exist, and they don't want him to exist. Hashem wants people to exist and develop. So this is reflected as Hod v'hadar lefanav. The word lefanav is referring to man. Unlike the nations and the false gods of the world, Hashem wants man to shine and express his glory. And that's through Mikdasho, through going to the Mikdash Hashem, through living those values, he can express the Oz of withstanding temptation and the Teferis of the glory of becoming a more complete individual through following HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in other words, the way Rav Hirsch understands this, while it is a praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the praise is ultimately getting to the point where a person praises man's ability to fulfill Ratzon Hashem, which fits in very nicely with his previous comments about through the entire section about what the point that we're praising about, we're praising the ability to fulfill Ratzon Hashem. And now we're first saying this is a way for a man to gain inner worth and self-fulfillment. moving on to the next section, the sixth section, after praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu about the interactions with him and the ability to fulfill his ratzon and have gained self-worth, we now call out to the nations, as well as to ourselves, to recognize and subdue and submit ourselves before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hovel Hashem, Mishpachos Amim, families of the world, render to Hashem. Hovel Hashem, render to Hashem, Kavod Va'oz, Kavod and strength. Hovel Hashem, Kavod Shema, render to Hashem, the honor of his name, su mincha avol chatzeroseh, raise a mincha, bring a mincha, and go to his chatzeros. So again, following in with the halacha that we've mentioned before, Rav Hirsch is going to take an approach that this is going to be focusing on fulfilling Ratzon Hashem through the Jewish people. The Malbim is going to appreciate, be appreciating this as an expression for the world, with this appreciation of Hashem's interaction with the world, what they should do going forward. As Malbim explains, this is another way of expressing, this is a call for the nations to gain that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Focusing on the second, the class of individuals who believe in the clockmaker theory again, the Malbim understands this call of bringing kavod to Hashem as a way to recognize that Hashem is really the one who's running the world, and he's not staying far back and letting the emissaries and his emissaries and his celestial beings run the world. That's why we call Hashem to give kavod as the creator for the eminence of creation, but also Oz, because he's guiding us through justice and his mashgich over the rest of the world. We then mention Shtach Hashem Hadras Kodesh, bow to Hashem in the Hadar of Kodesh, in the glory of Kodesh. Chilum in pun of Kol Aris, similarly means to be the world should be trembling before him. The Malbim again understands this to be referring to the class of people who believe in the clockmaker theory. So this is just a further call for them to be educated. He says, when you recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the clockmaker, runs nature, but not directly involved, you're only really recognizing Shemo. Like a little bit, we have a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but not an essential connection. However, at least engaging with HaKadosh Baruch Hu when trying to seek him in the Chatzar HaMelech, B'Chatzar HaSav, it enables him to then get further to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Hadras Kodesh, with a more deeper appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his involvement in our world, and that's going to allow, naturally cause a person to be Mishtach V'Samin himself because of that recognition, and also be Chilu, be shaken up, because they recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really in front of them, and while he is so transcendent, he interacts, intervenes with mankind in a direct, in a very direct way. Rav Hirsch understands this now as a call for the Jewish people to now follow Ratzon Hashem, following in with his understanding of the previous section. He's speaking to the Mizamer, speaking to the Bnei Yisrael, and he's saying, while the world has refused to recognize Hashem's majesty and invincibility, it's time for them to finally admit Hashem's true greatness. And a person has to do this not through just deeds. The person has to do it through su mincha, uvol chatzeroseh, through actions, through fulfilling Ratzon Hashem, through fulfilling the Torah. And hopefully through that, this will enable the world to change and develop, and then ultimately all of mankind will be mishtachav Hashem b'hadras kodesh, they'll submit themselves, because they recognize that they are a reflection. Hadaras, Hirsch explains, is a miniature expression of something else. So their man before sitting before HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory. And chil mipan of kol aretz, and that will hopefully lead to chil, which is, Hirsch explains, not just fear per se, but chil as connected to birth pangs of labor, and this will enable for spiritual rebirth through our acting of Ratz, and fulfilling Ratzon Hashem, and fulfilling the Torah will be like a or like goyim for enabling the world to have a greater recognition of how to fulfill Ratzon Hashem in their life, in their world. We see further, Amr of Agayim tell the nations, Hashem Malach, Hashem rules, Afikon Tevel, Baltimot, he established the world and it's not going to be faltering. And while we don't mention anything further in Todu, in Tehillim Tzadi Zayin, Tzadi Vav, we're going to finish off saying the sentence with the words, Yadin Abim Misharim, he judges the nations with Misharim. The Malbim, following his understanding of this, of these entire progression, understands this as another comment of recognizing Hashgachas Hashem. The world should recognize Hashem interacts with them as a king, very, very close and intimate. And even if in the world where it's Baal Tumah, where there's a stable expression of nature, recognize Yadin Amin B'Mishar, Hashem is really guiding nature to judge the world according to its actions. The first understands this to be a conditional comment, really, on the entire sentence in Tzilin Tzadivav. He says, the world will come at peace only if they live in Misharim, in other words, saying that there is a responsibility that the Goyim must recognize, that Hashem rules, and because of that, you have to fulfill your Ratzon, Hashem's Ratzon, Hashem's will, for the world to continue establishing, because that's the goal of our life. The pasuk then transitions to the Mizmar then transitions to this almost like dreamlike expression of envisioning the future, the natural world, expressing joy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the sort of this, at least expressed by Rav Hirsch, fits in nicely with his understanding of the entire Mizmar, that the point of this is that there's a connection between man's deeds and nature. Nature is there to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when man fulfills his calling to live with Ratzon Hashem, nature aids in mankind's effort, and it rejoices in being able to fulfill its potential in fulfilling Ratzon Hashem. And that's the joy that we're expressing. And as we'll see, this is the alternatively, however, this is the Malbim following in his understanding, understands that the joy is going to be not in just the Ratzon Hashem, but the fact that there's this interaction with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. Yisbichu HaShemayim, the pasuk says, Yisbichu HaShemayim v'saga al aretz, the land will be sameach, and the aretz, the land will be full of gil, joy. Yiram hayam umlo, the land, the sea will roar in its fullness. Yalos adai v'chol ha-shabo, all the forest and all that's in it will be exulting. Oz yiranu kol ha-tayar, then all the forest trees will be singing l'fnei Hashem, before Hashem, kiva, because he came, l'shbor ha-aretz, l'shbor tevo, tzedek v'meve, b'munuso. And while that's not actually in Hodu, that's the ending of Tilim Tzarivav, that Hashem is going to be interacting and judging the nations. So following the Mabim's understanding, this is all about Hashgachas Hashem. Mabim explains that these are all these different praises are different expressions of Hashem's interaction with the world. Number one, the world will be Sameach. In the world of Rav Hirsch, the word Sameach means a consistent type of joy. Gil is a new, exciting, unique experience of joy. So the world, the heavens, which is reminiscent of the natural world, the fixed world, that's going to be consistently joyous with recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's expression of his Ratzon in the world and interaction with the world on a constant basis. But the earth will be full of gil because it's going to be understanding, recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu through a unique experience, through a supernatural experience while it's trying to judge the world. That's Yiram Hayam Umlo'o. The seas will roar as a form of justice to the evildoers because there's this interaction with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Similarly, all the trees will be exalting for that same reason, because at the end of the day, there's this Hashgachas Hashem. He explains that the emphasis of the psukim of Yalos Sadai V'chol HaShabo Aziranim Atzei Hayar is an expression of Hashgachas Hashem. When it rains, with Mephit is deserving of this unique interaction with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his field, the Santa, will be getting rain to be filled with crops. But if a man sins, Hashem changes the Hashgacha, distances it, and allows the rain to fall in the yar, and the forest will go to waste. But in the end of the day, both land, the Sada and the yar, both express joy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because again, that's the emphasis. The emphasis is that there's this Hashgacha, Hashem. And obviously, while we don't say it in Hodu, Yadin Amin B'Meisharim, Hashem is going to be judging the world. Again, that's expressing another form of Hashgachas Hashem. And that's something to be joyous about. Rav Hirsch, however, understands these terminologies as, again, emphasizing the importance of nature fulfilling Ratzon Adam to enable man to fulfill his Ratzon of fulfilling the Torah, fulfilling what Hashem wants. He explains that Yiram Hayam Umlo'o, while it's true, it's referring to a destructive force of the sea, the joy of the sea is not from the interaction of Hashem, but through the fact that it's going to ultimately be a source of man's improvement. Through Yisurin, man will be able to improve and be able to fulfill his Ratzon more. Similarly, when he explains the Atzei Hayar, he says Atzei Hayar refer to trees that are used for foresting to enable for construction. This is a great joy for the forest, because now the forest can actualize man's potential which is synonymous now with fulfilling Ratzon Hashem, and the forest itself is joyous for that experience. We finally finish this entire section with almost like a reawakening of the present condition of man. Almost like we've been experiencing the hopes and dreams that hopefully Hashem's Ratzon would be fulfilled, would be this close Hashkacha, and now we're back in the present and we're trying to recognize and hope that that will come true. We call Hashem, we are called to praise Hashem in this section, and hopefully we'll gather the exiles very soon and engage in a close relationship, being able to fulfill his Ratzon through that experience. So we start with saying, Halul Hashem, Ki Tov, Ki Lo B'chasto. We praise Hashem that he is good, for he is always good, for his good is constant. And we call out Vimru, and they will say, Hoshino, okay, Hoshino, Hashem should save us, and save us from the non-Jews of the nations of the world, to ultimately be moded to Hashem, the Shabech, B'silosecha, to praise in your Tehillos. It's interesting to note that the Medjur Tehillim in Tehillim Kuf Zayin notes that Hodul Hashem Kito Kilum Chasto is a quotation of the Bnei HaGeula, who are praising Kadosh Baruch Hu for letting them go through the exile and surviving. So it seems to be, as Radak explains on this pasuk, that we're talking about the Jews of the current Gullus who are calling out to Kadosh Baruch Hu to be saved, just like Hashem saved them, their ancestors, as we're saying, Vimru Hoshino Keishinu, Kabatzinu Vasinu Menagayim, like we did in the past, so we could serve Hashem properly. And ultimately, the goal then is, Baruch Hashem El Kei Yisrael Min Olam Adolam, Hashem should bless the nation of Israel for this world to the next world, or for every eternity, Vayimru Chol Am, and the nation will say, Amen V'Halal Hashem. And the eyes of Rav Hirsch, the beauty of this pasuk is saying that not after the Galus has been over, and we're going to be envisioning a world where we're going to be saved, we will now be able to express Hashem's Ratzon in the world, Vayimru Chol Am, in the world, the nations of the world will say Amen. They'll agree to this, and they'll live with this inspiration that the Jews have been living through throughout their exile, and be able to serve Hashem properly. And we conclude, Romu Hashem Elokeinu v'shachu l'adam raglav kodeshu. They should exalt Hashem, bow to his footstool that is holy. He is holy. Romu Hashem Elokeinu v'shachu l'harkodesho. They should exalt Hashem and bow to his harkodesho. Ki kadosh Hashem Elokeinu, for Hashem is kadosh. Again, as the Malbim understands this to mean, this is a reference to our unique relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Bnei Yisrael will be Romim, will exalt Hashem, because they now have recognized that Hashem is Hadam Raglav, has extended down like a footstool which goes down to the floor to impact the Hashkachas Hashem, but they also recognize that Kadosh Hu, that he's also transcendent over the rest of the world. And we conclude similarly, a second point, Rumba Hashem Elokeinu V'shachal HaKadosho, we recognize an even closer relationship with Hashem, because not only is Hashem's, we recognize Hashem as the who's in this world and is Kadosh, there's this interaction of Hashem who's with on Har Kacha, which is a Shechina residing on the earth, this closer level of Kedusha, and we recognize Ki Kedosh Hashem Elokeinu, we recognize that Hashem is our God, we have this unique relationship with Hashem, and that's what we're exalting Hashem. Hopefully it'll be more explicit, and that's the praise that we're hoping for in the future. Rav Hirsch understands this to be, again, fulfilling his understanding of the point of all this is to enable the world to get this great appreciation of Ratzon Hashem. He understands this praise, this exaltation, praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be referring to the nations of the world. The Romu, the nations of the world, after experiencing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the world, they're going to look for guidance and how to serve Hashem following the Torah, and they're going to go to Hadam Raglov, to Har Kodesh, which is the Beis HaMikdash, the place of the Torah, because they know that through the Torah, that's how they can have this relationship with the transcendent HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who transcends all of reality. And that's the focus of this section. So to conclude, while it's a lot of information, it seems to be really a progression of two different Mahalchim in our appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We first begin with a general praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to praise Hashem and sing before Him. In the eyes of the Malbim, it's a recognition, a call for us to gain this deeper appreciation of Hashkachas Hashem, seek out Hashem through His interactions and through the intimate supernatural recognition of Hashem. And we have to remember that Hashem has done this in the past, and we have a unique relationship with Him. in the eyes of a Hirsch. However, it's going to be an understanding of our duty to seek Hashem and how to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem through the Torah, and recognize that even as like us, we should do so like our forefathers have done. We then move to the next section about remembering the bris, which is, in the eyes of the Malbim, the unique relationship we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem has developed with the forefathers and established as ultimately Yisrael Bris Olam, where the Bnei Yisrael are going to have a bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a unique relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a supernatural relationship, which is expressed in Eretz Canaan and Eretz Yisrael. And alternatively, Hirsch understands this to be as a bris of the Torah, that we have to remain steadfast, that our forefathers have been able to fulfill, and ultimately will have be able to fully express in Eretz Canaan and Eretz Yisrael. Moving on to the next section, we then again reiterate in the eyes of the Malbim, the Davar, the looking at the past and recognizing that Hashem promised us and committed to us to protect us amidst all the exiles and all the different experiences because of that close relationship we have with Him. Or alternatively, again, it's a chizuk for Bnei Yisrael to follow the Ratzon Hashem, the Torah, even amidst all the exiles and experiences, the same way He protected Bnei Yisrael when they were starting off in the days of our forefathers in Egypt. We then transition with this awareness of the relationship or the fulfillment of the need to fulfill Ratzon Hashem, the Torah, in the Galus. We now shift to expressing this to the rest of the world and envisioning a world where we could fulfill the Torah in its totality, being Or LaGoyim for enabling the world to recognize Hashem more. We say Shir LaShem Shechadash. In the eyes of the Malbim, we're trying to address two different types, categories of people. People who don't recognize Hashem at all, and people who recognize Hashem but don't see close Hashkachas Hashem, and where our goal is to recognize Hashem more. Or it's just for us to be able to now recognize Hashem more through our fulfillment of the Ratzon Hashem in the eyes of a Hirsch. We then explain what the praise is that is going to be. We're going to tell the nations of the world about this unique kavod and the flows, that Hashem is great, and that He's more powerful than anything else. And ultimately, in the eyes of the Malbim, this is going to be emphasizing for the people who don't have this deeper appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to either recognize Him as the Creator, who is Mehulal and Gadol, or, and alternatively, or in addition to that, recognize that Hashem is Nora, and He has this unique unique relationship with the world and directly involved in the world, and He's more powerful than any other being, and therefore He has this ability to have this supernatural interaction with them. And that is ultimately the Hod V'Hod L'Fanav. That's the praise of Hashem both in the natural and supernatural world. In terms of a Hirsch, all the praises that we're giving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu are a means for us to recognize for ourselves that Hod V'Hod L'Fanav, that before us, Hod V'Hod is possible, our self-fulfillment, our glory is possible when we follow the Ratzon Hashem and control our temptations and become a greater entity, greater being, greater humanity, through fulfilling the Torah, through fulfilling Ratzon Hashem in its totality for the rest of the world. And there, we call out to the nations, we call out to ourselves, that while the world doesn't have this appreciation yet, we have to strive to recognize the Kavod Shemo, Havu Hashem Kavod Mishpachos Amim, Havu Hashem Kavod Oz, recognize Hashem in strength, recognize His power in the natural world, recognize that even though it's only the beginning of that relationship, we bring a mincha, we go into his chatzer, into the closer chambers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we find Hadras Kodesh, we find this deeper interaction with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then we recognize Hashem Malach, the world recognizes as well, Hashem Malach, and Hashem runs the world supernaturally and even amidst the nature. Alternatively, as Rav Hirsch explains, this section is focusing on the need for Bnei Yisrael to do actions and fulfill the Torah, su mincha, do an action of bringing the mincha, not just saying it, and that will enable the world of chilul mipanav kol haaretz, that will cause a revolution, a religious revolution in the world, like a birth pang, that will allow for the birth of something new, the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem is Malach, and He's going to run the world, and that the point of creation is aftikon teva baltimo, that's only because if we fulfill what is meisharim and recognize Hashem is Malchus. Then we envision a world where the entire, not just the people, but the entire world itself rejoices in the ability to fulfill Ratzon Hashem and have that closest reaction. The heavens are going to be joyous, the earth's going to be joyous, the fields, the waters, everything's going to be joyous because they recognize in the world of the Mabim, there's this interaction with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, both on a natural and supernatural level. There's this close interaction that itself is meaningful and something to be excited about and joyous about in the eyes of a Hirsch. Now the world has meaning. The entire world finds a function. The fields, the water, the different things that are in the world are now all serving man, who now is in tune with the Ruach Hashem. And that's the goal of all this, all the Torah, all of creation. And we conclude, we almost like reawaken ourselves after this vision. We say, thank you, Hashem. We hope, Hashem, that in the future we're going to be able to go outside of the Gullus. And thank you, Elohim Hashem, Kitov Kilum Chasto. We hopefully be able to see that when we say the Emiru Hoshenel Keyeshenu, that we're going to ask Hashem to save us, bring us from the Gullus, and be able to praise you. And hopefully, Baruch Hashem, Elkei Yisrael, Min Olam Adolam, be able to recognize and bring down the Ratzon Hashem throughout the world. And the world, Ha'am, the nations of the world, will be able to recognize that as well. And ultimately, be able to Miromim Hashem, either recognizing the Hashkachas Hashem, the unique relationship we have with Hashem, as he's Hadum Naglov, as he comes down, as like a footstool comes to the floor. Alternatively, now the nations of the world will be able to submit themselves to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem through fulfilling what the Torah requires of humanity to fulfill, going to the Beis Hamikdash and learning from Bnei Yisrael who've done so in the exile and has been a source for the Bnei Olam for the world to fulfill Ratzon Hashem. So, just as a conclusion, why this section seems to be part of the beginning of Pesukei Zimra or introduction of Pesukei Zimra. It seems to be we're trying to begin creating an image of number one, specifically in the Malbim's framework, is starting to recognize that there is this unique relationship we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And this is specifically done through Avodas HaKarbanos, as historically was done when we recited Hodu Lashem, as quoted by the Seder Olam. And especially now in our world where we don't have Karbanos, we have the Tefillah, we're going to be able to use our Tefillah to be able to experience that connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hopefully being able to impact the world through it and enable the world to have this great appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world through our actions. Alternatively, we're davening that Hashem should be able to enable us to fulfill Ratzon Hashem through our fulfillment of the Torah, which in many ways is connected to Tefillah, because as we're beginning Tefillah, we're trying to integrate, as Rav Hirsch explains, integrate the point of Tefillah is to integrate the hashkachas, hashkafos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and be able to live them in a proper way throughout our lives. And so what we're doing now is when we say Hodu, we're recognizing that, especially amidst the exile, when we don't have Karbanos, we're trying to be able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and fulfill His will, so that ultimately we could have a world where the entire world will be able to fulfill His will. And we start that by davening today. And next time, we will continue with Hodu, starting from Vuhur Achlam, hopefully to the end, Mirtz Hashem, finishing that parak and then moving on.